Yesterday, the Baltimore Ravens football team released star running back Ray Rice. That's after a video surfaced that showed Rice punching his fiance, knocking her out last February. The story's been all over cable news and gossip websites, but a lot of the focus has been on Rice's fiance and why she decided to marry him after his violence toward her. Merrill Cousin is executive director of the King County Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Cousin says the Rice incident can be a teaching moment for the public.
If there is any positive effect from this, I think it is that we as society and we as communities have an opportunity to learn and engage in critical dialogue about it. I think we do have to recognize how it is extremely emotionally and personally costly for Janae Rice, and there is almost always an emotional and personal cost for the survivor.
Merrill, one of the things that's been really interesting to see is an enormous online Twitter response, why I stay, why I left. With that, those are the hashtags, and it brings up that whole question that people who have not experienced this wonder, you know, why does somebody stay? Is it the victim's fault? So what do you think we can learn from this particular instance about the women, the victim?
We always ask, why does survivors stay? Instead of, why does somebody who has, you know, so much going for them do this? And I think that's the biggest frustration. We say, of course, that's the real question, and then we end up talking about all the reasons why survivors stay. And survivors, many survivors stay, many survivors leave, and they stay for many reasons, and they leave for many reasons, and there are costs for staying, and there are costs for leaving, and really only, you know, an individual survivor can decide at any given time. The amount of focus that gets put on survivors and what they do and don't do, I think, is really misplaced.
When we talked with you, Merrill, about a year and a half ago, you told my colleague Ross Reynolds that funding for domestic violence programs in our area was not very good. Has that situation changed?
Overall, it has not. There might be some agencies that have, you know, accessed a little bit more funding, but domestic violence programs in general and are woefully underfunded and cannot come close to meeting the need that's out there. That being said, I mean, I think that that's really important to understand, and this gets back to my earlier point, is that we keep asking why don't people leave, but then we don't make sure that our community has the supports in place so that if somebody wants to leave, that help is out there. You know, I really hope that Janae Rice is getting the support that she needs through this, whatever happens. But there's not much that I can do about that. But those of us who can't ensure that can work to ensure that survivors locally can get access to the support that they need.
And one of the questions I had was how situations like this that are so public or the release of these two videos affect both public opinion and affect support for programs that you would like to see well-funded.
Right. Well, I would hope that, all this conversation would lead to more support for domestic violence programs, and there certainly have been times when that has happened, and that may happen in the future. Again, I think that time will tell whether this was just, you know, frankly, a scandal that a lot of people got engaged in because it was exciting to talk about and made good coverage, or whether it becomes something that really does help change the conversation. And I hope that it's the latter. I mean, one thing that I would want to say in terms of whether survivors will learn from this that they should come forward or they shouldn't, is that I just want it to be understood that, you know, there are negative consequences for someone going public, but someone can reach out for help without going public. And that, again, specifically domestic violence programs, community-based programs for victims of domestic violence, the bedrock of the services they offer is confidentiality and supporting individual survivors' choice in what they do, whether it's staying or leaving, reporting to police or not. and where their information goes.
I just have a last question, Marilyn.
Yeah.
The anti-domestic violence movement mm-hmm. has been growing for at least three decades at mm-hmm. this point. Why is it, do you think, that some men still think domestic violence is okay, that it's okay to be mm-hmm. abusive to a partner?
Because social and cultural change takes a long time. I think we have made incredible progress in the last 30 years, and I think we still have a long way to go in consistently communicating a norm that abuse is not acceptable, that people do not have the right to control other people, and that being male, being someone famous, does not give you the right to expect to control anyone in your life, and certainly not an intimate partner. There are programs aimed at engaging men in working to end domestic violence, engaging men to be role models for boys. And there is, you know, Seattle, King County area, we have been at the forefront of this for years, and we have an opportunity to continue leading. The Mariners was the first professional sports team in the U.S. to have an anti-domestic violence campaign with the Refuse to Abuse campaign. And that, you know, that they've sponsored public service announcements. They sponsor a 5K. They've also developed their own policies and developed a culture that says that domestic violence matters and that we're not going to blame victims. We're going to hold, you know, we're going to have expectations for our players that this is behavior that they don't engage in. So we have a model here locally that the NFL could learn from.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Sure.
Okay.
Thanks for covering it.
Meryl Cousin is Executive Director of the King County Coalition Against Domestic Violence. You're tuned to The Record on KUOW.